Really, the phase one is cornerstone for what we do in environmental. And one of the other points that we're going to try to do today is demystify a lot of what we do. And instead of just talking about, well, this kind of happens, I'm going to say, what happens when you come up with an obstacle? What happens when you find a condition? You know, there are plenty of options for that. And so we're going to try to talk about what those are and kind of how those decisions are made. I just want to talk briefly to set Stephanie's conversation on this up, to say that there is a big difference in quality of phase ones. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that a phase one ESA is similar to buying a pair of shoes in a store where you can go in and say, I need a size 9.5D. It doesn't happen that way. You're going to get quality. For me, a quality ESA is a recitation of facts that logically lead me to the conclusion that either there are no recognized environmental conditions at this piece of property, or that the recognized environmental condition that has been recognized is authentic, it's genuine, it really exists. Because the last thing we all want is an phase one that comes up with either, but that's incorrect, either doesn't identify what it should, or it identifies an REC that really isn't. And we've got plenty of war stories, and we had so much fun putting this thing together, all of our war stories about how people make mistakes when they do that. So one of the first questions you got is, you know, why are we going to get it, and what are we doing? And, you know, one of the most obvious or one of the most common comments about why you get a phase one as well, because you're doing all appropriate inquiries and you're trying to avoid some potential future CERCLA liability for your client. That's all well and good. But in Texas, the law is that the owner of the property is ultimately responsible for the environmental condition of their property, period. There's no safe harbor.